It was just a simple hi, a nod at the gym, nothing more. No flirtation, no touch. But within weeks, my wife was questioning everything, and the woman from the treadmill was spreading lies that ripped through my life like wildfire. What began as a routine workout turned into a psychological takedown engineered by a stranger who studied emotional warfare like it was a sport. Surveillance, deepfakes, fake texts, burner phones, offshore accounts. This isn't just a story of betrayal. It's a masterclass in manipulation, and I'm the man who lived it. My name is Malik, and this is how she tried to destroy my marriage. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform now because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. You ever look back and wonder when the storm really started? Not when it hit. Not when it broke your windows and drowned your foundation, but when the first drop landed. For me, it was a Tuesday, 6:17 a.m. Echo Park Gym, Southside, LA. I was mid-set on incline dumbbell press when she walked past. Black leggings, hoodie, wireless earbuds. We locked eyes for half a second, polite. Unbothered. She nodded. I nodded back. That was it. Or so I thought. My name's Malik. I'm 37. Married 11 years. Wife's name is Kyla. My ride or die since Crenshaw High. We just moved out of the jungle to Highland Park last year. Things were good. Solid. We ain't rich, but we workin'. I do logistics, warehouse routing for a sneaker company, and she teaches third grade. I hit the gym 4 mornings a week. Same routine. Same bench. Same playlist. My peace zone. But something about her stuck. Not in a damn she fine way. It wasn't lust. It was presence. Like she was there even after she left the room. She didn't flirt. Didn't even smile that much. She'd stretch near me. Start her workouts around the same time. Weights. Stairmaster. Hydration breaks that just happened to align with mine. Coincidence, right? One day I'm re-racking plates and she says, "You always push that hard or you just showing off?" I chuckled. "Both, maybe." She smirked. "Respect. Most men just stare. You actually train." I nodded. "Appreciate that." Mim. Never got it. She never gave it. Didn't ask either. Figured it was just friendly gym banter. Harmless. A social script. Next couple days, same rhythm. She'd say, "Hey Malik," like we'd been cool. Like I told her my name. But I didn't. That's when my gut buzzed. That low-grade mind-racing sensation. The one that lives in your chest but feels like it's hiding in your teeth. I ignored it. Brushed it off as ego. Then came the whisper. "Kyla's at the sink washing strawberries," and she turns slow. Not angry. Not yelling. Just haunted. She said, "Y'all been messing around." I blinked. Who? That girl from the gym. The one who always says hi. I felt the air in the kitchen get thick. "What?" She said, "What?" Kyla swallowed, eyes glassy. "She said you told her you're unhappy. That we sleep in separate rooms. That you said you love her." I damn near dropped the juice I was pouring. "Baby, I swear to God. I don't even know her name." But it didn't matter. The seed was planted. You see, lies don't need proof when they come wrapped in emotional clarity. They just need timing. And she chose the perfect moment, right when Kyla and I had been off rhythm. Bills, work stress, old arguments rising like heat from cracked pavement. This stranger didn't just slip into my life. She engineered herself in. And now... Now, my marriage is a PS1 disc spinning out of control. Scratched. Warped. Maybe too damaged to play clean again. But I'm not folding. I've seen con artists move like this before, in music, in the streets, in business. But never in my home. This ain't just obsession. It's psychological warfare. And I'm about to trace it back to the server room. You ever feel like your whole life's being recorded but you never saw the red light come on? That was me, waking up in my own house like it wasn't mine. Kyla wasn't talking. Not really. She'd nod, maybe hum. But her eyes? Shadowed. Quietly calculating. Like she was staring through me, not at me. And I couldn't blame her. She was living in two timelines, the one we built together and the one this chick from the gym had whispered into her ear like scripture. "He told me he loves me. He said he's trapped with you. He only married you because he felt guilty after the abortion." Was. All of it. But lies told with skill. Lies told with behavioral psychology precision. That's when I knew I wasn't dealing with a lonely gym flirt. I was being targeted. Let me rewind. 3 days after the kitchen bombshell, I get a call from my boy Trey. You good, bro? Why? Cause my girl said she heard from Keisha, who heard from Monique, that you got some gym side piece stalking your block. Mind racing. What? Bro? The street's talking. She's telling folks y'all been together for a minute. Says you was gonna leave Kyla and move in with her. Now I'm pissed. But it's a cold kind of pissed. The kind that don't raise its voice. The kind that plants. I start investigating, and I don't mean on no FBI tip. I'm talking ghetto intelligence. Group chats, Insta tags, casual side convos with gym heads. And what I find? She got followers. Not online. In real life. Women who believe her. Dudes who think I'm just another player who got caught. The whole damn situation was being engineered. She was curating a story, one that looked, smelled, and felt real. And then, it got physical. One night I'm locking up the crib and I hear something. Footsteps. Turn the corner, nothing. Next morning, a note on Kyla's windshield. It said, "He lies with his eyes. He lied in your bed too." Printed. Clean font. Taped with care. This woman wasn't messy. She was calculated, a student of cognitive psychology, mind manipulation, group behavior, and social engineering. But how? How did she get all this info? My schedule. Our address. The abortion lie, that was buried deep. Only two people ever knew that. And one of them sleeps beside me. Which meant only one thing. She had access. Somewhere in our digital lives, someone, maybe her, maybe someone helping her, had breached the perimeter. I checked our Ring cams. One had gone offline 2 weeks ago. The same week I first said hey to her. That's when it hit me. This wasn't a woman with a crush. This was a con artist, using dark psychology and media manipulation to dismantle my life brick by brick. This was a server room operation disguised in leggings and lip gloss. And the streets? The streets love a scandal more than they love the truth. Truth don't trend. But betrayal? That's marketing gold. Kyla still wasn't sure what to believe. But the cracks were there. Her silence was louder now. Questions came late at night when the lights were off. Did you ever, even for a second, think about it? And I didn't know what to say. Not because I did. But because when the shadowed truths start bleeding into the light, you stop recognizing your own reflection. She was manipulating more than my marriage. She was manipulating society's perception of who I am. And I knew, if I didn't flip the game soon, I'd lose everything. Kyla. My rep. My mind. Next move? Find the breach. Trace the lie. Burn the script. Because somewhere in the code of this chaos is the truth. I stopped working out. That gym, my temple, my escape, my one place of mental peace, had turned into a damn crime scene. And I was the suspect. Worse. I was the only one who knew the crime wasn't mine. But this woman, she kept showing up. Same time. Same machine. Same slow, calculated smile. Never said another word to me after Kyla found the note. Didn't have to. Her silence was now part of the manipulation, behavioral support for the chaos she'd set in motion. That's when I started doing what she never expected. I went quiet, and I started watching. I hit up a homie who used to work front desk at the gym before they laid him off, Marcus. Cool cat. Stayed low-key but always had receipts. You still got access to that check-in system? He nodded. Depends what you need. I need to know when she started showing up. The woman in the black hoodie. Long braids. Tatted wrist. He raised a brow. Or? She'd been around for a minute, but not consistent. Started clocking, in steady just about the same week you started coming mornings. My stomach dropped. She followed me. He flipped his iPad around and showed me the logs. 6 months back, 3 visits. Then nothing for weeks. Then suddenly, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Same entry window as me. 6 a.m. sharp. Precision. Engineering stories, not living them. That was the first confirmation I wasn't paranoid. This wasn't attraction. It was strategy. I did more digging. Instagram. Found her page. Private, of course. But the bio? One word. Influence. Didn't use her real name, at least not the one I thought she had. I went back to Marcus, who whispered her legal off the gym waiver. Raina Brooks. Pulled the court dockets. Public records. One name popped up twice. A restraining order and a harassment claim. Different dude. Different city. Same tactics. Both had wives. Both divorced within the year. It wasn't obsession. It was a pattern. This woman was a con artist cloaked in street-level simplicity. She understood human dynamics, group behavior, and the fragile ecosystem of love and loyalty in the hood. She studied communication for leaders, just to weaponize it against the unready. She read psychology tips not to heal, but to hunt. Kyla was slipping further. She wouldn't say much, but the way she'd glance at her phone, then at me, it was like she was holding her breath around me, waiting for my mask to fall off. One night, I walked in from work and she was on the couch with her sister, Sierra. They both stopped talking when I came in. Energy changed. Tone dropped. And the TV was still playing but nobody was watching. She said you told her Kyla don't satisfy you, Sierra said, straight-faced. I just stood there. I didn't say that. She said she got texts. From me? She won't show them. Says it's not safe yet. Now my mind racing again. What the hell does not safe yet mean? I couldn't sleep that night. So I got up and started digging deeper. I logged into our router, checked devices connected to the Wi-Fi. Found something strange. A PS1 emulator, downloaded onto the smart TV. Not mine. Not Kyla's. Clicked into it. Inside a hidden folder labeled X's and O's were audio clips. Of me. At the gym. On the phone. At home. Spliced. Chopped. Manipulated. She'd been recording me. Editing conversations to build her narrative. It was textbook audio manipulation. Maybe I don't love her no more, one clip had me saying. But I never said that. I recognized the phrases. From three different convos. Stitched together like a quilt of betrayal. That was the moment I knew. This wasn't emotional. It was surgical. She had access to tech. To cognitive techniques. To manipulation tools the average woman in the neighborhood don't even know how to spell. This wasn't her first run. She was a hidden mistress in multiple relationships, living in the shadows of men's marriages like a specter. Not because she wanted them, but because she wanted to destroy what they had. To study it. To control it. And I was her latest lab rat. I unplugged the TV. Wiped every device. Changed the Wi-Fi, the passwords, the router. But that wasn't enough. I needed to beat her at her own game. If she was playing chess in shadows, I was about to flip the board. I didn't want revenge. I wanted truth. And I was ready to drag it, kicking and screaming, into the light. Truth don't hide in sunlight. It crawls underground, behind logins and burned out Wi-Fi signals in the code beneath the click. And Reyna? She was fluent in the underworld. After discovering those chopped up audio clips buried in that fake PS1 emulator folder on our smart TV, I stopped thinking like a husband, and started thinking like a target. Because that's what I was now. Not a man. Not a husband. A case study. A living, breathing project in someone's psychological experiment on control. And if I wanted to beat her, I had to figure out where her lab was. I called in a favor. Kilo, an old head who used to run wires for a music studio out in Watts. Now he did side work setting up server rooms and low-level surveillance installs for cash. Mostly legal. Sometimes not. I need you to come through. Quiet. What kind of quiet we talking? The kind with cameras I didn't install. He came through that night. Black van. Backpack full of tools. Did a sweep like he was cleaning a crime scene. Bruh, he said. You got two bugs in this house. One under the coffee table, one behind the hallway mirror. My stomach flipped. He pulled them out slow, little black circles no bigger than a dice. Audio only. She tapped in clean. No video. Smart. Leaves less trace. I sat down, head spinning. How does she know how to do this, man? He looked at me dead in the eye. She got military training? Not that I know of. Then she either been trained, or she paid someone who was. I spent the next 48 hours tearing my digital life apart. Wiped the phones. Rebooted the Wi-Fi. Got burner numbers. Downloaded a network sniffer app and ran a packet trace. That's when I saw it. A hidden IP address, bouncing off a server location masked through Toronto, Canada, and then rerouted through street kits. Offshore accounts. Offshore data flow. This wasn't just stalking. This was a multi-layered cyber manipulation protocol. I pinged the IP and ran it through a dark web DNS analyzer. It bounced me to a local endpoint, a static IP in South Central. Right around the corner from the gym. I drove there the next morning. Parked. Waited. Saw her. Not Reyna. Some skinny cat in a champion hoodie, glasses, laptop bag, walking into a side door of an old warehouse unit. I followed. Inside, rows of dusty desktops and fan-cooled servers stacked like metal coffins. Three kids sat around monitors playing God with people's lives. Emails. Audio clips. Social media scripts. They weren't hackers. They were engineers of perception. Running game like Wall Street runs stock prices. Market emotions. Human dynamics. mind manipulation as a commodity. One screen had my face on it. A paused frame from a Ring camera I didn't even know was still live. My front door. Another screen had Kyla's Instagram page. Full profile logs, DMs opened, DM drafts never sent. Scripts written as if she'd typed them. That's when I lost it. Grabbed the first monitor and yanked it off the desk. Y'all think this is a game? They scrambled like roaches. One tried to grab a hard drive. I slammed him against the wall. You working for Reyna? He froze. Who? Don't play dumb. The woman who's been setting me up. One of the others stepped forward. We don't know her name. We just build scenarios. People pay us. Pay you to what? Destroy people's lives. He shrugged. We call it emotional engineering. Clients tell us the outcome they want. We script the chaos. Reyna wasn't just skilled. She had outsourced the architecture of my destruction. And paid for it using what one of the kids called a celestial account. A digital ghost wallet, untraceable, hidden behind cryptocurrency and spiritual brand fronts. She had dark forces behind her, not demons but people. Influencers of reality. She built an emotional bomb and planted it inside my life, piece by piece. Every manipulated clip. Every engineered social media leak. Every twisted coincidence. It was all scripted. And Kyla. Kyla was reading from that script without even knowing it. I walked out of that warehouse broken. But also clear. This wasn't just personal. This was a psychological hit job. And I was going to flip it. I had the tools now. I had actionable intelligence. I had the emotional awareness. But most of all, I had nothing left to lose. By the time I left that warehouse, my hands were shaking. Not from fear. Not from anger. From clarity. For the first time since this started, I saw her for what she really was. An emotional broker. She wasn't in this for love. She wasn't in it for lust. She was in it for leverage. Controlling outcomes. Engineering stories. Using market psychology, but instead of stocks, she traded in people's trust. And me? I was the asset she was shorting. I sat in my car for hours, just letting it all spin through my mind. Why me? Wasp. Then I remembered something. Back when I was lifting heavy in high school, coach used to say, "You only get double teamed if you're dangerous." Maybe my marriage wasn't perfect, but it was strong. Too strong for her to simply seduce or scare. She had to undermine it, sell by emotional sell. And she used a toolbox built on dark psychology, social manipulation, audio engineering, and cognitive bias to pull it off. So now I was gonna flip the script. I'd let her write the first half. Now I was writing the ending. First move? Find her real name. Reyna Brooks was just one of many masks. Marcus the gym dude came through again. She ever fill out the emergency contact sheet? Yeah. Last year. Paper form. I think we still got it in the drawer. Boom. I got the copy. Handwriting, sharp, slanted. Like someone trying to look elegant but couldn't hide the pressure underneath. Emergency contact. Katrina Marsh. Number linked to a prepaid phone out of Carson. I ran it through an app. Found her real Insta account. Low followers. No posts. But one tagged picture from a 2019 women's retreat. Caption. Beautiful minds and broken bonds. Thank you, Kat Marsh, for your talk on emotional influence and body awareness. There it was. She'd been teaching manipulation. Lecturing about body intelligence, true body language, cognitive techniques, and ethical persuasion. All dressed up in yoga pants and self-love slogans. She wasn't just a predator. She was a professor of pain. I kept digging. Found three other men linked to her page. One was a real estate agent from Inglewood. Divorced. Lost his license in 2021 after a mental breakdown. Another, a local jazz musician. Suicide attempt in 2022. Public meltdown on IG Live about a woman who broke his soul. Third, a youth pastor from East LA. Gone ghost. No digital footprint since 2020. Same pattern. Different flavors. She studied them. Studied us. Used our insecurities like paint on a canvas. She was an artist of destruction and we were her exhibit. But if she could paint lies, I could build mirrors. I set up a trap. Told Marcus to let her know I'd been asking about her. Planted a fake DM on a burner account. Said I wanted to talk, man to woman, about how we got here. I knew she couldn't resist. She'd want to control the narrative. Sure enough, 2 days later, I get a voice note. I don't want drama. I just want the truth to come out. You know what you said. Deep down, you know you want it out. She was still trying to write my lines. So I gave her a stage. Next time she came to the gym, I wore a hidden mic. AirPods in, but they weren't connected to music. I had Kilo nearby, streaming the live feed straight to a private drive. I said just enough to let her speak. Let her lean in. You know Kyla never saw you the way I do. You said I make you feel seen. You don't need to lie anymore. I said nothing. Just nodded. Let her monologue herself deeper into her own script. Then I stood up. Took a breath. You done? What? Just making sure you got it all out. Cassie, this was the last page. Her face dropped. That was the first time I saw fear in her eyes. Not because I threatened her, but because I'd flipped the polarity. She wasn't the puppeteer anymore. She was the puppet exposed to light. Later that night, I compiled the footage. Combined the clips from her voice notes, her DM lies, her confession. Attached it to a private video link. Sent it to Kyla. No text. No explanation. Just the truth. Naked. Raw. Undeniable. She didn't reply for 6 hours. Then one word came back. Come home. But this wasn't over. Not by a long shot. I could feel it. The way you feel heat before the fire. Because Reyna, Katrina, whatever name she wore, wasn't used to losing. And I knew. She had one move left. There's a kind of silence that hits after a war. Not peace. Not relief. Just the absence of noise. The pause before the next round. That's what our house felt like. Kyla let me back in. Physically, yeah. I was sleeping in the bed again. Her food was on the stove. Her towel hanging next to mine. But her spirit? Still locked up. And Reyna knew it. She could smell uncertainty like blood in a pool. The morning after I sent Kyla the video, I found something strange. A package on our doorstep. No return address. No stamps. Inside. One item. A mirror. Not a new one. Dirty. Framed in chipped gold. Taped to the back. A handwritten note in elegant, calligraphic script. Before you reclaim her trust, make sure you've earned it. Celestial insight starts with reflection. KM. Katrina Marsh. She was taunting me. She wasn't just trying to wreck my marriage. She wanted to remind me who I used to be. Because that's the thing about master manipulators. They don't always lie. Sometimes they tell just enough truth to make you crumble yourself. Kyla found the mirror before I could toss it. Held it up, stared at it. This from her? Yeah. She didn't ask how I knew. She just nodded slowly, then whispered. Was any of it true? And that's when I had to face it. Not everything she said was false. Back in 2020, during the pandemic, when Kyla and I were sleeping back to back and fighting about every damn thing, I did go on that dating app. I didn't meet nobody. Didn't cheat. But I thought about it. I clicked. I scrolled. I wandered. And somehow, Reyna found it. She didn't just manipulate our present. She weaponized our past. Shadowed secrets I never confessed. Ethical cracks in my story I never patched. She wasn't chasing me because she wanted love. She was chasing my guilt. Using it like a crowbar. I started looking deeper into her background. Found a forum, not Reddit, but darker. A niche site for men who had been emotionally blackmailed. She'd been mentioned. Not by name. But by description. One thread called her the Mirror Mistress. A user wrote, "She doesn't seduce you. She reads you. She learns what you hate about yourself, then makes your wife see it. She holds your worst moment in a glass and makes you stare until you shatter." That was her weapon. Not lies. Reflections. One night, Kyla and I sat on the couch. Silent. The mirror leaned against the far wall. Covered now. She turned to me. Why her? Why now? I never chose her. You opened the door, though. She was right. And that's when it hit me. Reyna wasn't just manipulating my wife. She was manipulating me to manipulate myself. She planted the seed. But I watered it with every unspoken fear, every deleted text, every unfinished apology I owed my wife. That's how deep manipulation runs. It's not always a rope wrapped around your neck. Sometimes, it's your own hand tightening the knot. I made a decision. I wasn't gonna hide anymore. I wasn't gonna run from what I did, or what I almost did. I told Kyla everything. Yeah. The messages. The doubt I'd felt. The pain I'd carried. Even the part where I wondered if I married her just because she stayed, not because I deserved her. She cried. I cried. But that night, for the first time in weeks, we held each other. Not out of duty. But out of survival. Because Reyna had been feeding on our silence. And we just cut off her supply. But just when I thought we were healing, the news broke. A clip. A screenshot. A leak. Of me half-naked changing at the gym. Private footage. Posted on a burner Twitter. Captioned. Married man. Community pipe. Watch your girl. thousands of views in minutes, my face trending, my job tagged, my phone exploding. It wasn't over. It was escalating. She wasn't attacking our marriage anymore. No, she was coming for my reputation, my livelihood. And this time, I wasn't going to defend. I was going to expose her. They say if you're gonna go to war, don't fire the first shot unless you already know how the whole thing ends. I didn't fire the first shot, but I sure as hell was gonna end it. The leak of the locker room clip broke something in me. Not my pride, that was already bruised. Not my name, I'd carry scars forever. What it broke was restraint, because now it was clear. Raina didn't just want to ruin my marriage. She wanted to unmake me. She was rewriting my story in real time, feeding it to the public. Casting herself as the wounded lover and me as the predator in sneakers. It was all performance art, and she'd mastered it. But this time I was going to flip the art into evidence. Step 1, track the money. I went back to the kids in the warehouse, the so-called emotional engineers. Slid a flash drive across the table. Here's the deal. You give me her payment trail. I make sure nobody ever knows y'all were involved. You don't? LAPD Cybercrimes Unit hears all about your little operation. Their faces dropped. One of them, tall, skinny, twitchy, plugged in his laptop and said, "We only got part of the chain. She used crypto wallets. But the main one ran through a dummy LLC tied to a domain called celestialinsights.org. Boom. That name again. She'd hidden her cyber contract payments inside a front for spiritual coaching and energy healing. Tax write-offs. Influence disguised as ethics. But now I had it in black and white. She paid for my destruction. Step 2, leak the truth. Kilo helped me compile everything. Her voice notes. The manipulated audio files. The original source files for the video clips. A gym security log showing her pattern. Payment receipts to the emotional engineers. A clip of her approaching me in the gym, whispering those lies. We built it into a documentary-style timeline. With narration. With receipts. With irrefutable proof. It wasn't just a defense. It was an exposé. We titled it, The Manipulated Narrative, Inside the Mind of a Relationship Con Artist. Kyla narrated the opening. Her voice, broken but strong. My name is Kyla Moore. I'm a wife, a teacher, and a survivor of psychological warfare. This is not a love triangle. This is a story of manipulation, market dynamics, and the ruthless world of emotional exploitation. We uploaded it as an unlisted video. Send it to my employer, to Kyla's school board, to every friend who had heard her side. Then we made it public. It caught fire. Over 200,000 views in 48 hours. Comments pouring in. Men sharing stories. Women admitting they'd seen it happen too. The tag hashtag Mirror Mistress started trending. People began digging into Celestial Insights. They found other victims. Other men. Other families. One even reached out to me directly. She did the exact same thing to my brother in Chicago. He lost everything. This wasn't random. It was a pattern of social engineering. Manipulative personalities operating under the banner of coaching, healing, and empowerment. Selling market psychology dressed as self-love. Weaponizing behavioral psychology in domestic warfare. But now, she wasn't anonymous anymore. She was exposed. Step 3, the confrontation. I showed up at the gym, camera crew ready. Yes, I turned it into a public scene. Not for clout. For documentation. She saw me and turned pale. Her hand went for her phone. I spoke loud enough for the whole gym to hear. This woman tried to destroy my life. She planted bugs in my home. Fake conversations. Paid strangers to create deepfakes. She said I loved her. I never even knew her name until she broke my wife. Gasp. She tried to walk. But the camera guy moved with her, calm, close, professional. She hissed, "You're crazy." I replied, "No. I'm done being silent." She lawyered up within the week. But by then, the court of public opinion had rendered its verdict. Her coaching site? Gone. Her real name? Blacklisted. Offshore accounts? Flagged and investigated. I didn't win everything. I lost job offers. I lost peace. But I got my marriage back. Got my voice back. And most of all, I exposed a system of manipulation hiding in yoga pants and Instagram quotes. They say revenge is sweet. I disagree. Revenge is strategic. When done right, it's not personal. It's surgical. It's about influence mastery, reclaiming the narrative with facts, precision, and ethical leadership. That's what I did. And that's why this story isn't just for me. It's for every man who's been made a villain by someone else's script. Every partner who's doubted themselves because someone engineered their reality. Every victim of emotional exploitation dressed as enlightenment. They say once you survive a fire, you never see flames the same again. I used to think manipulation looked like lies, like flattery, like some beautiful woman whispering sweet things while hiding a dagger behind her back. But that ain't how it really works. It don't stab you. It reshapes you. From the inside. It's been 5 months since everything came out. Since the video dropped. Since Katrina, Reyna, Kat, the mirror mistress, disappeared off the digital map like smoke on a freeway. No lawsuits ever came. Her paper trail was too dirty. Too dangerous for a court she couldn't control. But the damage? That lingered. Kyla and I are still together. But something about us changed. We don't finish each other's sentences like we used to. We ask twice instead of assuming. We trust each other more and less, all at the same time. It's like healing from a break you didn't know was there. You walk different even when it don't hurt no more. I went back to the gym last week. Not because I wanted to. Because I needed to. To reclaim something. To face the place where it all started. Where one high turned into a home invasion of the soul. Everything felt smaller. Quieter. I lifted alone. No music. Just the hum of the weight stack and the steady pace of my own breathing. That's when I realized, she never wanted me. She wanted my identity. She wanted to control the way others saw me. To twist human dynamics into market dynamics. To turn emotions into assets she could exploit. She didn't fall in love. She ran an experiment. A lab test on body language, behavioral psychology, and male vulnerability. And for a while, it worked. But here's the thing she didn't account for. Resilience. The same resilience that builds under every rep. Every rep that burns. Every moment your body says quit and your mind says, one more. That's the final lift. I sat with a therapist. Yeah, I said it. Black man from South LA talking to a professional about trust, self-control, influence psychology, and the lingering shame of being manipulated. And you know what she said? You weren't weak. You were unguarded. There's a difference. That stuck. Because men like me, we don't get taught emotional clarity. We're trained in silence, in power, in control. So when someone uses language tools and subtle art against us, we don't know how to defend. Not until we're bleeding emotionally and gaslighting ourselves in the mirror. But I see it now. Manipulation is a skill set. And if you don't learn the counter techniques, you're a sitting target in a world full of actors. So now, I teach other men. Workshops. Real talk sessions. Modern behavior and the psychology of influence. Not some high-level TED Talk bullshit *T. Real stuff. From the streets. From lived experience. We talk about how to recognize social engineering. How to build body intelligence. How to spot a lie dressed in empathy. How to know when you're the subject of someone else's story. And most importantly, how to write your own damn script. Kyla's with me at every talk. She runs the women's circle. They talk about forgiveness, boundaries, true leadership in a relationship built on clarity, not control. We still have bad days. Still flinch when old triggers hit. But we hold each other different now. Like partners who've already seen the fire and built fireproof skin. So this is me, Malik. Survivor, victim, villain, husband, teacher. I lived through a relationship hit job engineered by a ghost in yoga pants. I lost everything for a minute, and in that silence I found my voice. If you hear this and it feels familiar, you're not alone. You're not crazy. You're not weak. You were targeted by someone who made pain an art form. But trust me, even the best illusionist can't control a man who's already stopped lying to himself.